Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job,
And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So we see even Job was upright, and he had good, right relationship with God. And that's one of the things that in order for us to carry out what God has for us to accomplish as men, not only on a particular day, but every day and every day of our lives, is that we have to have the proper relationship with God. So he was perfect and upright. In other words, he had the proper relationship with God. In other words, and perfectness was not so much as humanness, but as in spirit. He had the right relationship with God. And we know it. Christians, we have been placed back in the proper or perfect race relationship with God through the blood of His Son, who took on our unrighteousness. We took on His righteousness in exchange for our unrighteousness. And so Job was perfect in the sense that he had the proper spiritual relationship with God, and he feared God, and not only did he fear Him, but it was a thing of respect. And he eschewed evil. And but that means he had the proper attitude about what was good and what was evil, what was right and what was wrong. So he had the proper spiritual relationship with God. He had a respect for God. And he called the things that God called evil, evil. And so he was in tune with God. And in order for men to be the men that God had called them to be and carry out the purpose that God has for them in their life, we have to be in the proper relationship with God and have constant respect, not so much be afraid of God, respect for God, and we have to agree with God that what is evil, what is wrong, and what is not right is right. And so God blessed Job in verse 2. There was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. In verse 3, he said his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. That this man was the greatest of all men of peace. So he had a great vast wealth, and he did not allow this great vast wealth of children and substance to cloud his view. And that's one of the tactics of the enemy, that he would try to distract us with the substance of this world and the riches of this world, prestige, and all those trappings that go with it. So Job had a proper relationship with that. And so we often tell people that it's not bad to have riches and substance when those things become more important to God or become idols. They take the place of God is when they become bad. And so what we have to do is we have to understand that God didn't have Job to be lacking anything. In fact, he said he was the richest man, greatest man of all in the East. And, you know, that was a lot of responsibility for Job, but even with having all that great substance, his relationship with God so strong that he knew that the enemy would wage war against him because of his relationship with God and his stature and status in community of God. So, again, that's one of the things that we have to really, as men, understand is that there's a battle out there that's trying to distract you, trying to take you off your relationship with God, trying to get you involved so much in substances that no longer seek God or stray away from God, or it causes you not to build your relationship with God. Same thing with your family. Have a family, he will then try to destroy your family, try to distract you, keep you from having a proper relationship with your family. And so Job was keenly aware of that. Verse 4 says, and his sons went feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And I always laugh when I talk to men, it's like, your wives and children, they can all be off the chain and they can go and do and carry on. But God has given the man an awesome responsibility authority and responsibility to be able to deal with life, the children, and everything that's going on. And basically, God allows man to, what we call, get a strength exchange to deal with all this stuff at the altar. And that's the greatest challenge for men, is to make sure that they understand that they're the priests of their home and that they have been given a responsibility to go to the altar as priests of their home and to bring their families, bring their issues for God as the head of their household. And I think a lot of times men are missing from the altar. We're missing action from understanding that it's our responsibility, it's our authority, that when everything else is falling apart, for us to say, all right, we need to take this to God, and we bring our family, our issues to God, and we need to do it as a family unit right here at our altar, in our home, wherever it may be. It might be in your basement, might be in your attic, might be on the first floor, might be a chair in your living room, your dining room, or your kitchen. But it's a place where you consistently seek God's face. Might be in the morning, might be in the evening, afternoon, wherever, whatever time it is. That it's the man's responsibility to go to God and say, hey, God, you know, I need wisdom, I need guidance, I need knowledge, I need strength to be able to deal with this situation and be able to get that clarity from God through his word, through the power of his spirit, to be able to deal with the issues, the everyday issues of life. My father, he calls it living business. Child is born, he said, yeah, get these child ready for this living business. And it's just the daily life, the daily grind. It's our responsibility to cover our family in prayer, cover our family with wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God, that we have the leadership. And our family looks at us, yes, this is the priest of our home. This is the leader of our home. This is the man that's going to go to God and on our behalf to give us instructions and guidance through the word of God, through the spirit, that will teach us how to turn to God ourselves, turn to him, understand how the Holy Spirit works in us individually. And this is the example that men are so many times not taking. And then one of the other things is that not only are they not taking that role of bringing their families to the altar, but not only are that, but they're not living the life like Job was living. He says he's perfect and upright. In other words, they didn't have the proper spiritual relationship with God. Don't respect God and don't call what God calls wrong, wrong, or what God calls unrighteous, unrighteous. So in those areas, that's where the enemy has room to be able to come in and wreak havoc, not only in the man's life, but also in the life of his wife, his children, business, his church. And so we have to look at these things and say, hey, you know, God has given me awesome responsibilities, awesome authority. He's given me the ability to have over his creation, and I need to dominate and be responsible in my role here on earth. And, you know, it's you know, I always tell the fellas, we don't have any cut cards. We want this awesome responsibility, and we want to have the fame and the fortune that goes along with it, but we don't want to take the responsibility. And so let's see what Job did by taking the responsibility here. And we look at Job 1, verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. He would go and he would pray and set them aside, set them apart for God through the word, through his prayer, through his petition to God, that he would sanctify them, that he would ask God's blessing upon them. And he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And it was a thing that he had a relationship with every one of his children. And things about fathers, you have to know your children. And your children, you know what bent or bend they are, how they operate, the insides, the what makes them tick. And you have to spend time. You have to understand every child is different. You can't approach each child the same way. There's a way that you need to talk to your children individually. You can't say, well, you're this way or you're that way, and you know, think every child is going to be that way. You can't do that. You have to learn them. And so Job here, he sanctified them according to every one of them. So there's something about fathers having to be involved in the lives of their children, understanding them, understanding what they need to pray for them. And then the children have an assurance that my father cares, my father loves me, my father is concerned about my father taking me to the altar. He teaches me the things of God. And you know, when you begin to live that life and you begin to not only live it but teach it but live it also, what it does is it brings a great influence on your children. And so you'll have the assurances they have, just like they have the assurance that you would have the proper relationship with God, and they would have the proper relationship with God also. And it's important because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And so, you know, see later on in the story of Job's children were killed, but they had the proper relationship with God because Job saw to it that they knew God, talked to him about God, talked to him about how important it was that order set aside for God, sanctified by God, and to have the right spiritual relationship with God. And so that's, as fathers, that's what we need to do, because our children are promised to us, and they need to know God. This is what Job did. He said he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He got up early in the morning, and it's something that should be prominent in men's lives, is that, you know, before the family gets stirring, before the wife and the children and people get stirring, that we need to have a spiritual concern that we need to see God before any of this stuff jumps off first thing early in the morning, and pray that covering and sanctify them, pave the way spiritually for them to be able to be sustained in that day. And so that's what he did. And in verse 5, he said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. They might have did something wrong. They might have sinned against God. And so he goes and he offers sacrifice and asks God forgiveness for the sins of his children, the sins of his family. And again, this is the altar work of the father. And it goes on behalf of his family, asking God's blessing, asking God's forgiveness, guidance on behalf of his family. It's the man's responsibility. And I think a lot of times we're just not taught. I think sometimes we might see it, but we are actually not taught that is our role. And we have to, whether we're getting ready to get married or we're married, we got children, that's our role. And when we have an understanding of that role, then we can actually begin to start developing that relationship with God, with our wives, with our children. And we can start seeing changes and differences and progress in our families. Too many times in society, in our communities, it just seems like everybody is chaotic, doing their own thing. Because it's not, the man is not taking his responsibility and playing his role in our community, as far as going to the altar and taking his family to the altar and sharing with them the word of God and doing the word of God before them. This was done continually in the life of every man in our community. We would see a great improvement in our community. We would see great changes, miracles in our community. It would be an awesome revival in our communities. And it's never too late. Just have to thought, it just has to be lived out before people, and the word has to be spread. That this is the way to get our communities back under control, to get them back in line with God's plan, his purpose, and will. And this is one of the great challenges of the ages, if you will, that we would learn to do this, not only learn to do it, but continue to do it and pass it down to our children. But on last week, again, we had some audio challenges, but on last week we saw that we needed to see what the makeup of the man was and why he gets to this place where, you know, he wants to shuck his responsibility. So we invited you to go back to the second chapter of the book of Genesis. And when we went back to the second chapter of the book of Genesis, we see in chapter 2, verse 7, and it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul." And in verse 8 it says, "And the Lord planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree pleasant to sight and good food, tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, in which it compassed the whole land of Havilah. There is gold, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hedekel, that it is which goes toward the east, Syria, and the fourth river Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress him and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou thereof thou shalt surely die." So here God is talking to the man. The woman not taken out of him yet, the children weren't around. So God is talking to the man, and God gave him, you know, land, everything that was good, pleasant. God gave him the ability to choose to serve him or not. Told him that there were things that you needed to stay away from. And it was God's allowing man to have his own free will. He didn't put a computer chip in him, program where he was a computer, but he loved him and gave him, you know, his creation. Told him there were some boundaries, and told him to make sure that he stayed away from those boundaries, didn't cross those boundaries, and he was in a great relationship with God. And God, verse 18 said, "It's not good." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground of the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them Adam to see what he would call them. So Adam called every living creature that was named thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, the fowl and the air, every beast of the field. Adam there was, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. So here we see God again giving man a dominion and authority, name over his creation, to operate and dominion over his creation. And man was in an awesome relationship with God. And God understood that man needed help to meet every responsibility that God had given him responsibility and authority over. And so he went through the process of creating woman, and by creating her, took a rib out of Adam and created a woman from Adam's rib. We see that in verse 21. It says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." Here, again, we see God's concern and love for man, that he would give him a companion, be with him on earth to help him meet responsibilities that God given him authority and responsibility to dominate or have dominion over God's creation. That's God's relationship with man, is that man had great responsibility, he had great authority, and God gave him a free will to be able to obey or listen or do the things of God. God did not make him a robot, but man has a free will, and as long as he's willing to stay in line with the will of God, that man's relationship with God is an awesome, awesome thing. But the enemy does not like the relationship that God has with man. Enemy, the character and the angel of light, Satan, Lucifer, does not like the relationship that God has with man, and he will do whatever he can relationship to break that relationship, to cause that relationship to fall apart. And Adam was doing well in verse 22, Genesis 2:22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And here again we see the closer relationship, human relationship, where the two have become one is when a man and a woman are together. That's the closest relationship. And you see in 24, verse 24, it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That's the closer relationship where the two become one flesh. It's when the man and the woman get together. They become one flesh. They become one unit. The ability to carry out everything that God has purposed and planned for them in their relationship, husband and wife. And so there's no other stronger bond than the husband and wife to have become one. And verse 25, it says, "They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So this is the original intent that God had for the man and the woman, to become one and have the proper relationship with God and each other, be able to lean over God's creation and to live peaceably with their God within the boundaries that God has given them, to love God and to seek Him to do His will. And this is what God still desires for. He desires to have fellowship with us. He desires to have communion with us. He desires to see our relationships develop into godly relationships with each other, with children, and with Him. However, again, we said God has an adversary that is jealous, doesn't understand why God would desire to have a relationship with humans, spirit-filled humans. Doing whatever he can to man or God's creation to behave like he behaved, which was that he would not set God and say what the things that God said is wrong, and would not be obedient to God, but to overtake or over power or dethrone God, even though he was created like we were created. So creation wanting to buck at the Creator. So the things that Satan got in trouble with is the things that he tries to manipulate us to get in trouble with, and that's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. And we know that these things are not of God, that they are of the world. Those are the things that Satan tries to manipulate upon us. Those are the things that he tries to continue to get us to fall into. And we have to be wary. And again, that's one of the things that men, we have to be wary of the attacks of the enemy. Many men have played sports, and football season, baseball season, hockey season, they get ready to start back up. One of the things as sports, you have to learn how to play defense. You have to learn how to defend your goal or your territory, what is yours, from someone trying to take it from you. And so one of the greatest things the enemy tries to push on us is the three things that we can find in 1 John verse 16. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so those three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those three things are what causes man to have his most difficulty because he is not operating in the spirit realm, but he's operating based upon his flesh. He's not taking into account what this would do to him spiritually, and so he allows the flesh to override the spirit through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He wanted to ascend the throne of God. He wanted to get God off the throne and be like God. So he tries to work that same plan on God's creation. And one of the things he understands that man got the instructions first, that he would try to get man to fall by going to the weaker vessel, because the woman considered the weaker vessel because she came out of man. So man was created before her, and then she came out of man, so she was the weaker vessel. But her role is just important in carrying out the purpose and the plan of God. But she's considered the weaker vessel because she came out of man. And so Satan tries to go and to manipulate her, that if he can get to her, then he can get to the head, and if he can get to the head, then he can cause the man and the woman to fall out of the proper spiritual relationship with God. And so when we look at this thing in Genesis chapter 3, we're moving to chapter 3 now, we'll see how Satan begins to start making inroads to start trying to expose man, makeup, and trying to say, okay, I know he needs help me. I know the help me makes them complete. I can work on his help me. And that will cause this relationship between her and God to become less than what God would have it to be. And so when you look at Genesis 3 chapter, now the serpent was more subtle than steel. Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now again, when you look at this thing, Adam again was supposed to be in a position where he's not leaving his wife exposed to the enemy. This type of talk is quickly dealt with. This type of teaching is continually taught. So when anyone tries to come in and say what God says is wrong, to believe a lie, that it will be quickly dispelled. But we see that this didn't happen in this case, where Adam was with her, or even her exposed to the enemy, not covering her, not adequately sanctifying, setting her apart, watching her in the Word, teaching her the Word, that the enemy was smooth, slick, and would come in. And in verse 2, it says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Verse 3, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So she had the story. She was, in a position where her husband should have stepped in and said, God said, don't eat it, because you would surely die. But because of this earthly desire, of the eyes and the flesh, she looked on it, she meditated on it, and thought that it was good. And the enemy said, in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Here is the statement that had a devastating effect on mankind, to the moment where sin burst on the scene, where the relationship between man and God, man and each other, was at the brink. And so when Satan says to the woman, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, spiritual life, spiritual death is at the precipice, at the brink, if you will. And here is where all of our earthly trials and tribulations were either going to be or not going to be because of the subtleness of Satan. Satan does this to all of us. He makes us make choices that are life-changing or eternal-changing or would cause our lives to be a certain way because we would listen to him before we would listen to God. Our men need to understand that you make that choice to listen to Satan over God. It has a devastating effect on us lifelong. Because of these smooth words that were spoken to the woman, this is what allowed sin to begin to start taking root in mankind, God's creation of man. And continues his lie in verse 5. It says, God doth know that if they eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be gods, knowing good. Here he begins to start manipulating the word of God. Even though man had everything, even though he had dominion, even though he had responsibility, authority, and great relationship with his wife, and spiritual relationship with God, and God gave him free will, God gave him boundaries. God told him that, you know, this knowledge of good and evil is something that you don't partake of. Partake of it, you can surely die spiritually. You'll proper relationship, spiritual relationship with me, and just don't do it. I'm not gonna put a computer chip in your back. I want you to love me and trust me, and to respect the boundaries and not take of it. And Satan said, "Well, this is my opportunity to get man to fall just like I fell, and not appreciate that he was a covering angel, cherubim right next to the." Even God, that wasn't good enough. It seems like that's the way it is with us now. It's like, you know, God has given us everything, but it's just not good enough. And when you look at verse 6, and here we are, I told you about those three things that are not of God, but the things of the world. See, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. That it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And here it is, that pride of life. I want to be wise. I want to be like a god. I'm not satisfied with my position and the blessings that God has given. And so she stopped believing God, started believing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And we said, well, what does that have to do with men? Pastor said, well, you look. And this same verse, he says, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So he was with her. He was with her. And, you know, it's a thing where men hear, we don't hear, we see, we don't see. We should intervene, but we don't intervene. We should be vigilant, but we're not vigilant. We have awesome authority, but we don't want the responsibility to go with it. The enemy is smooth, and we don't put a defense up. We saw Job put that defense of sanctifying his family early every day. We won't do that. And devastating results in our family, devastating results. And where we will spend eternity or where our family will spend eternity, either with God and proper relationship with God or separated from God, an ungodly relationship with God. And so, again, in these few verses, it devastated the whole creation because sin passed down from every generation from Adam all the way down to where we are right now from Adam and Eve because of the decision that was made right there in that third chapter. And again, the man, he could have stepped up and said, this is not what thus said the Lord. You know, this is not what God said. We should believe God. We should follow God's love, His kindness. We should follow God's be obedient to His boundaries. This is a lie. I don't know where this verse, this serpent came from, but I know God, and God is not trying to hold anything out from us. God has given us everything that we ever could imagine or desire, and we will follow God and not follow the enemy of God. But it didn't pan out like that. And in verse 7, it says, in the eyes, Genesis 3, verse 7, in the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so they sinned, and they felt ashamed, and spiritually their relationship with God was no longer a right relationship, but it was a wrong relationship. And so now that they're looking at each other and they're looking at the situation, circumstances, and seeing that they're ashamed, and now they feel not good, and they feel that they've done something evil against God. So now they have the knowledge of good and evil, and spiritually, because they're spiritually dead, and God had not intended for this to happen to them, but because of the temptation, because of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, that they allowed to overtake them. This is how they ended up. And Satan's mission was accomplished, that he deceived the woman, man fell, and God's creation, eternal trouble that faced them. And it was something that God had not intended, but he put a plan into action to bring man back into proper relationship with him. We say all this to say that, men, we need to understand this story. We need to understand. We need to get up early. We need to God's face. We need to get to our altar and our home, east of our home. We need to learn God, learn the word of God. We need to sanctify our children, our wives, to wash them in the word, to get them in a place where even if we're not around, that they will know the voice of God, that they would turn and be obedient to God, obey God's boundaries, and that we would live a life before them so that they could see this is how a godly man should live. And it will go a long way in your relationship and my relationship with our wives and our children, our community, if we learn what our role is, get back to that altar, get back to the place where God wants us to be with responsibility and authority and dominion, and living upright lives before our families and our community. This is what God is calling us to do, but we have to be taught. We have to understand that there is a distance, and we have to understand we need to know the tactics of the enemy so we don't fall prey, so we don't fall a victim to the things, the temptations of the enemy. And this is what we're trying to do in Heart of God Baptist Church. We're trying to have a revival with our men, not only in our church and our communities, to get us back to the altar, get us back to the proper our proper place, priests in our home, leaders in our home, our relationships with our families, community, because that's the original position that we have. You know, God hasn't changed. We're the ones that have changed, and we need to get back to that. So we are grateful to God for the first word today. Prayerfully, our audio transmissions are getting better, but we are grateful for those who have listened to us down through the years. And we want to just to make an appeal to you. Ministry is being a blessing to you, that you can drop us a line, drop us a check or money order to support us here. Heart of God Baptist Church, or HOGBC. And our address here is 7100 Chesapeake Road, and that's in Landover Hills, Maryland, Suite 206. And the zip code is 20784. We'd be glad to hear you. Hear some words of encouragement, some feedback about this first word that we're challenging men and getting men to step forward and take their proper role and carry out their purpose that God has for them. Again, that's Heart of God Baptist Church, or HOGBC, 7100 Chesapeake Road in Landover Hills, Maryland, Suite 206. And the zip code is 20784. Glad to have your support financially, spiritually. Continue to pray for us, and we will definitely do the same for you. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us this morning. It's been an awesome morning studying the Word of God. Got a service coming up shortly at the 9:30 hour. Our Thanksgiving praise starts at 9, and 9:30 we'll go into our second worship. All right, we're going to ask a word of prayer from God. God, we just pray, God, that we will be cognizant of your word, God, that we will be able, God, to see the role that men should be playing in your creation, God, that we have been given dominion. We have been given an awesome responsibility, authority, God. Father, we just pray, God, that we will reach out and we will touch lives for the men and our families and our homes and our communities, God, that we would do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Father, we thank you for the example that you have given in your word, God, that we can draw on. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to strengthen us on the inner man and our spirit, man, that we will be able to walk in the spirit, God, doing the things that are pleasing in your sight. Help us to walk in faith, God, that we walk by faith and not by sight, realizing, God, that you honor our faith. God, we thank you for this first word. We thank you for allowing us to get up early, God, and commune with you. And thank you for the clarity of your spirit. Father, we just pray that this broadcast will be a blessing to someone, God, and that they would reciprocate and let us know, God, in whatever way you see fit, God. God, we just thank you for all your many blessings. We look forward to getting up early with you on the next first word. We look forward to continuing in fellowship and worship on today. And God, we pray that you would get all of the honor, all the glory, and all the praise from us gathering on today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to support us, Heart of God Baptist Church, or HOGBC, at 7100 Chesapeake Road in Landover Hills, Maryland, Suite 206. And the zip code is 20784. God bless you, and we look forward to hearing hearing from you again on next Sunday, the first word, starting at 6:30 a.m. Also, we invite you to tune in to our Bible study that's going to be held on Wednesdays this month because we're going through revival every Thursday. It'll be Wednesdays from 8 to 9. And so we're looking forward to you tuning in our Bible study. All right, that's going to do it for us. We pray that you have a blessed day. Bless the Lord, and that you will give God the glory. Talk to you soon. God bless.